Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the highly anticipated play Beyond Caring is on stage at the Water Tower Waterworks, home of the Looking Glass Theater, through May 7th. It's a show that documents the world of four temporary workers sharing their stories as they live paycheck to paycheck, take on hourly work in harsh, unforgiving circumstances. If you've heard of the play Beyond Caring before, it's because it was a huge hit in London. It toured the UK and all around Europe. The New York Times said it was, quote, beyond praise. Which is pretty good praise. Now the play comes here for its U.S. premiere. The play was written and directed by Alexander Zeldin, who's adapted the show for a Chicago audience. How did he do that? Well, he worked with Dark Harbor Stories, the production company led by Looking Glass ensemble member David Schwimmer, to make the stories come alive, to be relevant to this area. In studio with me tonight, Alexander Zeldin, and from the Looking Glass Theater, David Schwimmer. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Alexander, where'd you come up with this idea? Because this is a show that obviously is a little bit less theater, more social issue. So talk about how you got the sort of idea of temporary labor workforce and all these ideas to the stage.
Well, I mean, I think the way you set up the question is very interesting, because you say it's less theater and more social issue. Well, what really the task of the theatre is to find, not necessarily, it's not the same as journalism. You know, we're not here to inform. We're rather here to find a way of making you feel and see, the root of the word theatre is see, life more intensely. It's theatre is a concentration of time and place. It's one time, one place, one action. Those are the units of the theatre, the traditional ancient units.
As you say, it's alive, right?
It's alive, right. And I think that, you know, for me, the task that I've always tried to take on is to look for situations, dramatic situations, that tell the story of our time. So, you know, the story of temp workers working in the back room, the loading bay of a factory in insecure conditions is, I think, a really good way of tapping into a generalized sort of feeling of insecurity and of really what the value of dignity is today. So looking at this very specific situation of vulnerable people is for me a window into looking at a wider issue.
What was it that you said, I really want to tell the story?
Well, I mean, for me, I never really set out, it's not like a light bulb switching on. It's sort of the way I work is a sort of collaborative devising process with an ensemble of actors that were my students and I've worked with for, you know, 7 or 8 years now. And so really what attracts me is loads of different things. In this case, it was actually a book by a French journalist called Florence Aubenas, which is called The Night Cleaner. French title is Wistrian Pier, which evokes George Orwell's, Wigan Pier, which is a great early work of investigative journalism. And it's really what happens in that book is that she goes undercover, this journalist, and pretends to be a 50-year-old unemployed woman. And she looks for work in job centres in northern France. And I was immediately reading this book very moved, and I thought this is a very interesting approach, and it touches something that feels very alive. Mm-hmm. So I did the same in London myself. So I went to these agencies, and then I went to find, I went to look for work in a particular kind of way, and I met a lot of cleaners, and together with a group of actors and designers, we sort of slowly began to work, and then I went and wrote, and we developed this play, and we performed it for the first time in a sort of scratch week at a warehouse in Hackney in East London. But it was building on, you know, years of working in this sort of way of trying to be really, for me, it's very important to make a clear distinction that I want the theatre that I make to be very close to life. I think we have enough fantasy already in mm-hmm. life. The world is full of lies, you know, and falsehoods and alternative facts. And I think that what's exciting in the theatre is to really try to be closer to life itself. So, you know, theatre isn't make-believe for me.
Let's bring in David. It's interesting because when I think of the Looking Glass Theatre, I think of great theatre. I just saw Mary Zimmerman's show not too long ago, but it is a lot of the fantasy, telling the old tales, Treasure Island or other things. What drew you to bring this story, a more realist tale, to the Looking Glass Theatre?
Looking Glass is an ensemble of over 20 artists, actors, writers, designers, directors, and we all have different tastes that we gravitate to. My personal taste in the kind of theater that I have been kind of championing within the company for the last 30 years tends to be more productions that have more immediate social relevance. The last play I had kind of put on stage in that way was Trust, about sexual predators and internet grooming. The play Race, which was Studs Terkel's book about black and white America. So I think you're right. I mean, a lot of the theater, the stories we tell have a fantastic kind of quality. But there's certainly a contingency within the company that we feel a kind of responsibility to take on stories and that have some kind of relevance and inspire a dialogue with our community, tackle some subjects.
Well, Alexander said, I mean, for him to get into it, to actually be, you know, to be a temporary worker and to experience the labor force, a temporary labor force, you know, from the ground, from actually doing it. What did you guys do at the Looking Glass to get him ready for Chicago performance of this, or Chicago telling, if you will?
Right. Well, let me say that when I heard about his play and read everything I could about it, I mean, I saw the play, I read the script, and I read a lot of articles and reviews that came out about it, I immediately felt that it was vital to where we are in the time we're in this country right now. So I was compelled to approach him because I really feel that it taps into a general kind of, as Alex said, an insecurity and fear that we have in this country right now. And it's very real and it's palpable. So I think when I first felt this, it was 2.5 years ago that I actually approached Alex about doing it. And our journey to today was, the first step was, you know, asking him, inviting him to come out for a week, to spend a week with me on the ground here in Chicago and really with the help and the assistance of the Chicago Workers Collaborative, a not-for-profit that assists a lot of these workers and helps to protect their rights and fight for their rights, we were introduced to the reality of temp work here in Chicago and the world of temp workers. Once we did that, we immediately realized that this is absolutely necessary that we tell this story as soon as possible today. And that there was one additional component that was fundamentally different from the UK production, and that is of race here in Chicago. That temp workers predominantly are African American and Latino, and there's a huge issue of keeping them divided by the employers, by the companies. We could get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick break so we stay on time tonight. But I want to talk about what you learned about temporary work, because there is something. It's interesting to think that so many people who might be listening who this doesn't affect think of it as an issue in a faraway land. When you think about temporary work or labor force without rights and things of that nature, not happening here in Chicago, can't be happening, right? But it is, and that's what this is about. And also, we'll talk about the race component as well. David Schwimmer and Looking Glass Theater in studio as well. I'm very excited to have Alexander Zeldin as well, the writer and director of the show Beyond Caring, which is getting its U.S. premiere here at the Looking Glass, which is running through May 7th. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back here at the big table with David and Alexander. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio tonight at the big table, Alexander Zeldin. He is the writer-director of the show Beyond Caring, a huge hit in London, also toured the UK, Europe, and it's getting its U.S. premiere at the Looking Glass Theater, which is going to be running till May 7th. The Looking Glass, of course, in the old Water Tower Waterworks building right here on Michigan Avenue. Also in studio with me tonight, David Schwimmer, the Looking Glass Theater Ensemble member, and he is responsible for bringing this play to the Looking Glass. Let's talk about the idea of temporary work. Because, you know, I automatically think, you know, there's the temp, you know, I can get a job as a temp in an office, you know, that kind of thing for artists who are like, oh, that's temporary work. But then there's also this thought about, you know, the idea of work being done behind the scenes in a place where I can't see. It's out of my realm. I you know, I have a job. I have a salary job. I don't think about the people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes these people are forgotten about and marginalized.
Absolutely. I mean, one way of thinking about it is what happens in the basement, which is a huge part of every building. And, you know, it's driving the economy. It's driving society. And it's also really, I think, very important to not think of this, as I said earlier, as a sort of only an economic or social or political thing, but really one such thing that reflects a broader issue. And so just to make it very clear, we're talking about people that show up to a little storefront in on the outskirts of the city, mm-hmm. and at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever the time of year, and wait around They go into a room where there's
a temp agency.
Yeah, they go into the room into this temp agency where there's just a row of chairs and someone on a counter above them who sort of calls out their name if they're favored that day.
Right.
They then put on a bus which is meant to hold 8 people and holds 20, and they get driven to a factory where they work, a food factory or a clothes factory, whatever it may be, where they clean or they operate machinery without any kind of real training or guidance, but still under the pretense of sort of being part of a team or an associate or any of the other euphemisms for cruelty that we have sort of instituted in modern life. And then they are shipped back into the town and their wages are docked. And, you know, David will perhaps share some thoughts about that as well as part of our research. But how really this is a situation that is one in which people are afraid, insecure and precarious.
And a situation that you're explaining that happens in London and it happens in Europe. And you were talking about northern France. And David, it also happens a lot here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, there's a kind of great lie that's being perpetuated that unemployment is at an all-time low. But no one is talking about the kind of employment that's growing. And what's happening since 2005 in this country is that nearly all of the employment growth has occurred in alternative work arrangements such as temp work and on-call jobs. Hmm. So fewer and fewer blue-collar work is available on a regular full-time wage.
Even if there are factories, the idea of a full-time blue-collar worker being in that factory is what's being eliminated.
Or if they are, now they're just hired as temp work.
Right.
So they have no benefits. They have no protections under the law. And it's clearly just at the company's profit because they don't have to pay any benefits whatsoever. And if there's any kind of injury on the job, the workers just go away. It's particularly difficult and challenging when you're not a legal citizen. And a lot of, you know, there's a big portion of these workers are illegal immigrants who have come to provide the labor that we all rely on to get our packages from Amazon immediately. But no one's really acknowledging that these people have no rights, are abused routinely. There's sexual assault. There's injury and death and there's just there's nowhere for these people to go. There's no one to attend to them.
There's no regulation. There's no even the stories in the voices when they are unionized or we see what we've seen in Chicago. I think of the windows and doors factory that was in Goose Island a couple years ago had a sit down that said we're not going to do this anymore. You know, because and I wonder how much of this story gets told through the media or gets told through politics.
It's not really told at all.
At all.
Look, the temp workers are twice as likely to live in poverty. And their wages are 22% lower than full-time. For the same work, their wages are 22% lower than direct hires. So, and there's a lot of wage theft. They rarely see all of the money that's actually owed them. And luckily, you know, there's a new bill that's being floated right now that's been brought to the House of Representatives called the Responsible Job Creation Act. That hopefully those listening can go online and just look up. Again, it's the Responsible Job Creation Act that you can really research and tell your reps to vote on. But this really will help temp workers in Illinois.
Alexander, let's bring it back to the theater. You mentioned, and I was just looking at some of the interviews and the promo reel that was put out, just this idea of crisis. And, you know, that there's this way that crisis can be interpreted in so many different ways. But when you're to be able to put crisis on stage for people to see it, that's the magic of theater. Are we at crisis mode when it comes to the issue of temporary workers and how they're being treated? And is telling their story in theater the right thing to do?
Well, I think that the word crisis is a very interesting one because it's one that's been floated by politicians and those in power for the last sort of since the birth of really modernity, I'd say, as we understand it today, the idea of society in a crisis and the need for saving it. You know, that's how this current president got elected, saying, you know, we're in a terrible mess and terribly generalized false statements, which have caused people to sort of react. Because there must be the one thing that is absolutely certain is that this feeling of crisis is also an inner feeling. If we take it away from the lens of the media or the generalizations, really what we're looking at is a inner feeling of something is not right. I don't feel that my dignity is there. And this is a very intimate feeling which goes beyond any kind of divisions in society and asks us. And the theatre is a very unique, very ancient discipline and process, which is as integral to us as music or dance or even religion in some respects, or faith or politics. You know, there's a very important thing to always remember, which is that if you go to one of the homes of theatre in ancient Greece, the theatres are right next to the houses of politics, medicine, and faith and spirituality, whatever it may be. And so the theatre is an ancient, essential thing that will be around and it's constantly renewing itself. Mm-hmm. And so your question for me really stimulates something, which is, I feel very strongly that showing the hopes, the fears, the very minute struggles of people spend in a very concrete situation that is one that pierces to the heart of what life is like, how life is felt today. And I use the word felt because lived sounds almost too descriptive. And, you know, I'm not afraid of using words like feeling and sensation and inner life, and because this is something that is common to all of us. And facts and figures are often a way into understanding.
But the actual personal stories are
well,
what
I'm interested
gravitate
in,
to. Right?
Quite. And I always say that I try to do intimate plays. And I like the word intimate because the first thing that springs to mind is something romantic or whatever. But it's also, the theatre is very intimate. You know, you go, and in the plays I do, I leave the house lights on the whole time. And I do that very deliberately because I want us all to feel that we're in this space together.
Well,
you see the audience.
I want to take a quick break so we can get an update on tonight's news. But I do want to talk about that interactivity or the way that you dig in on how you present your plays.
Sure.
And how it's going to be at the Looking Glass as well. Alexander Zeldin in studio with me. He is the writer and director of the play Beyond Caring, which is on stage at the Looking Glass Theater at the Water Tower Waterworks home right here on Michigan Avenue through May 7th. Also, David Schwimmer, the Looking Glass Ensemble member as well in studio. He's the one responsible for bringing this play to Chicago. We'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news, and we'll come back and have more with David and Alexander. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking about the show Beyond Caring, a show by Alexander Zeldin. He's the writer and director, a great show that came from London. It toured Europe, the UK, and it's coming to Chicago for its U.S. premiere. Thanks to David Schwimmer, who's also in studio. David Schwimmer, Looking Glass Ensemble member, bringing it to the Looking Glass. It's on stage through May 7th at the Water Tower Waterworks stage right here on Michigan Avenue. Dave and Alexander here in studio. You know, when we talk about the concept of your shows, I mean, you talked about keeping the house lights on, trying to change the relationship between the audience and the people who are on stage, especially with a story like this, when you're talking about people who are sharing their stories or actors who are sharing the stories of temporary workers. Talk about the experience of seeing a play, what you're trying to get from an audience when you're skipping facts and figures, you're skipping numbers and information, and you're going with the personal stories. What do you want them to take away from it?
Well, I think that, look, the theatre is, as I said earlier, you know, theatre has needed to renew itself every time throughout history. You know, there's a very big difference between the Greek theatre, the Elizabethan theatre, or even the 19th century sort of Ibsen theatre. And today, you know, I feel that the theatre needs more than ever to actually kind of break down its conventions of the past that have become, in a way, very comforting. And I don't think the theatre is really a place that you go to be comforted or reassured in something. You should go to be disturbed. And I say this occasionally, that I think that being you get disturbed when you fall in love. So there's nothing wrong with being disturbed. And I want people to really, truly feel something. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I leave the lights on because I don't think I don't want us to feel that we're subdued into a sense of security. And I want us to really look at life, really see life and feel life strongly. I think that what I'm interested in doing in the theatre is giving the audience the experience of having a real experience.
David, does that kind of theatre, does that attract you to it? I mean, is there something about the idea of kind of flipping it on its side or, you know, keeping the house lights on and changing the way that the audience's interaction or at least their thought of what they're going to see changes?
It does. I'm very excited by this work and by Alex's the kind of new language he's creating and working on, particularly because I feel, you know, we've never been as connected, quote unquote, as we are right now with all our devices and all of our social media and And yet I feel, and I don't think I'm alone, I feel that we are becoming more and more isolated in spite of or despite of this connectivity. I think we are feeling more lonely and less connected to our humanity, to our common man, and each other. So the theater is one of those few places left, like a sanctuary of connectivity, of real connectivity, of being in the room without your device, ideally, device on,
right.
And
ideally, right.
Spending an hour and a half with people in your community and people that are not in your community but in the same city, in which you could witness something and experience something together collectively. And that moment will never happen again. It is for that hour and a half, and it will never be repeated. That same thing is unique night to night, performance to performance. And I think it's an incredible opportunity to stay truly connected to each other and experience something together that is rare, is becoming increasingly rare.
At this stage in your career, being at the Looking Glass, I mean, you can bring whatever project you want. I mean, it's an ensemble, so I'm sure there's rules on how that
sure,
works. But,
yeah. It's
but
a democratic
for you,
vote.
Yeah, it's a democratic vote. But the idea, I mean, you talked about what drew you to Alexander's play, but talk about you just talked about interactivity and intimacy and being in the same room. What keeps bringing you back to plays about race, plays about people without voice, about the temporary.
Yeah, very, very simply, I really care. I mean, I genuinely care about some of these social illnesses that have not been tended to. And race is a huge one, especially in this city and in this country. I was raised in a certain way that social justice was incredibly important to my parents, and they've passed that onto me, and I feel it's I've had a very blessed life and blessed career, and I think it's my responsibility to try to use whatever resources and talents I may possess to bring these kinds of stories to Chicago and to work with people like Alex that will hopefully illuminate and offer kind of perspective that we may be lacking here.
Do you see yourself with the production company Dark Harbor Stories and your work outside of Chicago in Hollywood? Will there be a time when that's the only kind of work that you will gravitate to, the social justice stuff? I mean, are you the kind of actor at a certain point you're like, all right, I'm done with all this
stuff?
No.
Look,
I'm doing social work and that's it.
I mean, I also have almost a six-year-old daughter, and so I think now I want to do another animated movie or something. You know what I mean? Like, my taste, like anyone, I mean, I have many, many ambitions and desires to do all kinds of work, comedy and drama, radio, TV, film, theater. I like it all, really. But I do feel like as I grow older that I a sense of obligation or responsibility, because I'm passing on my future to, the country, to my daughter, to her generation, and I want to do what I can, do my bit, basically, to try to make things just a little better if I can for her.
Alexander, this town, Chicago, I mean, it's a fitting place for a play about the temporary labor force. There's so much labor history here, the Haymarket Riot. You think about the beginnings of the unions. Are you aware of that? I mean, is that part of – I mean, I know David wanted you to come here, but for you to come to Chicago to be the place to put your show on in the United States – are you aware of the history of labor and labor unions in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I am, to a degree. I think one of the things that's interesting is, David, one of the first productions that I think that they did at Looking Glass was The Jungle, which tells the story of, another set of
immigrants again in America. A meatpacking factory, but in 1904. And that's exactly right. And today, unfortunately, the reason that his play struck me so profoundly was that the conditions affecting the average worker have not changed in over 100 years. They are – temp workers today are the modern-day sharecroppers. That's it. I mean, they're mistreated and abused with no protection.
And it's like The Jungle or other pieces of work, I mean, artistic work that brought – the stories and the plights of workers who were being abused, essentially, to the forefront. So when you talk about Beyond Caring, it's in that same spirit, the same spirit of of essentially giving voice to the voiceless, you know, giving permanence to the temporary.
Giving visibility to the invisible.
Well, there's a very long tradition throughout history of literature and theater and, you know, the shorter history of cinema of what I guess we can call kind of, if you look at even the films of Robert Bresson, for example, or the Italian neorealist cinema, there's a certain, or even some of the Bob Dylan's political songs, which tell stories. But I think there's a certain quality that has always existed. And in America, you know, I mean, Steinbeck and, you know, I love Jack London as
and
well.
And Odets,
absolutely, yeah, in the theater. And, you know, these, and, you know, one of the great sources for my most recent play was James Agee and Walker Evans's work. You know, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, which is the early sort of documentary photography. And I think there's something in this work that touches me and feels very alive, and I feel is really one of the... It allows us to tell stories about... The problem is that I think increasingly there's something that very, very rich that happens when a great diversity of points of view are brought together. And that's one of the very essential features of the architecture of a theatre.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter Brooks, who's somebody I've been fortunate to spend time with in my life, speaks quite beautifully about something called the shifting point. And that's wherever you sit in the theatre, it's a different point that you're looking at. And, of course, that becomes a metaphor for society in an ideal sense. But when we talk about society today, really, society is the province of the few. And this is a disaster. It's a human disaster. I mean, there are plenty of very eloquent billionaires talking today about inequality. But inequality is a deep sort of moral and spiritual issue, I think. It's not only a sort of economic one. Describing it only in those kind of political, economic, sort of media dry terms actually does it a disservice. Because I think, you know, you ask me why am I interested in telling stories about the sort of the less fortunate or so on, is the majority of the population is living in a condition of insecurity today. That's the situation. In my country, it's 21% of the population is below the poverty line. I mean, that's a disgrace. And it's unacceptable. It's morally unacceptable. And it's not a question of, like, you know, why do I do this or do that? It's that I think that there's what's really extraordinary is the resilience and courage and capacity, the extraordinary capacity for hope. And the story of fragilized people striving for happiness is really the mission of my
entertainment,
work.
And I think theater falls into that realm, have played a huge role in trying to grab the consciousness of a society. And I think of movies along the way that have talked about unions and labor forces and otherwise. David, for you, I mean, being a production company and your role in Hollywood, do you feel like the way to educate people on this issue, or to maybe change the way that, you know, the numbers, the 21% numbers and other things that we're talking about, to change that it can be done through entertainment, it can be done through the theater or the screen?
I think it's probably the best way to do it is not to educate, but to move people, to truly move people. And, you know, we've been quite serious in this interview, but the truth is the play itself is really funny at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke.
It's really funny. It's just about these five people, you know, total strangers, and following them over a 14-day gig, basically, and getting to know them bit by bit. And really, it's about their hope and their humanity and their need for connection, despite these conditions that they are working in just to survive and feed their kids. So the play is actually quite hopeful, but you are reminded after the play, you kind of walk out of there realizing, wow, you know, that when I go to work and I leave the office, these people who come in to clean the building at night, who are they? You know, that's what I'm interested in us acknowledging. And, you know, who are the people, the invisible, the shadow economy that's enabling all of us, as I said, to receive our packages within, you know, the next day if we need to or whatever. And the truth is that labor force is growing. It's becoming the fastest growing sector of the economy.
Well, the play is Beyond Caring. It's on stage at the Water Tower Waterworks, home of the Looking Glass Theater, through May 7th. It's written and directed by Alexander Zeldin, who has adapted the show for a Chicago audience with help from David Schwimmer, who is a Looking Glass Ensemble member. David, Alexander, thanks so much for being my guest tonight at the Big Table. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.